Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is truly a day that God has made, and God has allowed us to assemble together again as we explore the Word of God together. God has given us this time, and He allows us to meet up the body of Christ, the household of faith, where we come to learn more of Him, to grow in His grace and in His knowledge, so that we can be strong from the tricks of the enemy. The Word of God is our strength. The Word of God is our refuge. The Word of God is what carries us from one day to another. And I just want to say thank God. I have to give God honor and praise because He have allowed us to keep assembling week after week, year after year. They say whatever God has put in your hand, He always have the provisions there. And each day I learn it and understand it more and more. And I thank Him. And I thank each and every one of you that keep coming back. And I pray that God blesses you, your home, your family, your friends, your neighborhood, your enemies, your foes. Because God is truly in the blessing business. He really is. God said He don't have no desire to hold anything back from His children. And that's a blessing. We know everything that's going on in the world besides the coronavirus. Injustice is running rampant. Men are doing whatever seems right in their own eyes. Justice really have on her blindfolder because it's blind. But God has us in the palm of His hand. And we just have to hold on. Allow God to lead and we follow. Allow God to have His way. Allow God to control our lives. So, like I said, I'm grateful and I thank you guys. Our lesson tonight is allow God to mold and shape you. Allow God to mold and shape you. Our lesson is coming from the book of Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 6. It's a familiar passage. For those who already know it, it'll be a refresher. It would be refreshment. And for those who don't know it, it would be a learning experience. And even if you know it, it is my desire that the Holy Ghost give illumination and revelation, because I only give information. And it'll be something new that prick your heart tonight, that give you a desire to be more committed and not just a hearer of the word, but become a doer of the word as well. And at this time, I'm going to play a song. And I think the song is appropriate because you have to wake up each morning and realize that God has a master plan. And in God's master plan, He has planned your life. And you have to trust it. Seek His face and do His will and not your will, because that's where your success lies. So the song is The Master Plan. I'm going to play the song. And after that, we're going to come back and go to the throne of grace. And then we'll explore the word of God together.
You go.
Well, that was the master plan. God has a master plan for all of our lives. Hallelujah. No matter what the question is, God has all the answers. At this time, we're going to go to the throne of grace. And if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. And I'll open the mic for you. If anyone would like to pray. I have two callers and I'm going to let both of you guys pray because we really need prayer. Caller, your number is 504-237-3. Your mic is open.
Father, it is in the name of Jesus that we come at this hour in the night, dear God, and in our coming we say thank you. We thank you, dear God, for your goodness, your mercy, your love, your kindness, and your grace. We thank you, dear God, because you've been so good and so kind to us. We thank you, dear God, because you look beyond our faults and you see what we need. We thank you, dear God, because you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. We thank you, dear God, because you told us in your word that you never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, dear God, because this is the day that you have made, and yes, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Dear God, we just praise you, we love you, we magnify you, we adore you. And as we come, dear God, before we go any further, petitioning to your throne, we ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you would forgive us of our sins and transgressions, realizing, dear God, that when we sin, it is not against man, but it is against thee. So we're asking that you would forgive us, dear God, wash us whiter than snow, so that you will hear our petition. We thank you for it, oh God. Father, as we come, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would have your way, dear God, as we come to study your word and to hear what the Spirit has to say to us, dear God. Let us hear, dear God, so that we can go forth and let men, women, boys, and girls know that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Dear God, we thank you because we know, dear God, that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, that it can cut even into the marrow, dear God. So as we hear your word tonight, dear God, we ask that you would allow it to prick our hearts. And if it pricks our hearts, dear God, we can go forth and share it with others. Dear God, we lift up this universe to you today, dear God, for we realize that you are the maker of it and the creator, that you're Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, that you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We ask, oh God, that you would have mercy on us, that you would help us, dear God, and have mercy on us in this universe. We ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that those that you have assigned for leaders over us, dear God, that you would give them the wisdom, the knowledge, the stamina, and the endurance to lead us, dear God. And we thank you for them right now in the name of Jesus, not just in the United States, dear God, but all over the land. We know, dear God, that you created everything. And you created everything, dear God, that it will give you glory. So we're asking, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you would allow us to give you glory. Every person, every animal, everything in the universe, dear God, the stars, the moon, the grass, the wind, the waves, dear God, that they will give you glory. And we thank you for it all, dear God, because you made it for us. Dear God, we also ask in the name of Jesus that you would please have mercy, dear God, on those in this pandemic time, dear God, who have lost loved ones. We lift them up to you, dear God, and we ask that you would give them the oil of joy for mourning and the spirit of the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, dear God, as they go through, dear God, after losing a loved one. We also ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you would touch, heal, and deliver those who are sick, dear God. We realize that you are the God that healeth thee. We know, dear God, that you have the hem in your garment, the healing that we need, dear God. We're asking that you would give it. And we thank you for it in advance because we know by faith that it is so and it will be. Dear God, we also lift up everyone on this prayer line to you, dear God. Every home, make them homes of peace and prayer, dear God. Teach us how, dear God, to love you one another, which is the first commandment. Teach mothers how to be mothers and fathers how to be fathers and children how to be children. You've already showed us the plan in Ephesians, dear God. Teach us how to live in this land together. And dear God, we would be so ever to give you the praise, honor, and the glory and the victory for everything that will go on. Last but not least, dear God, and that you would endow those, dear God, that you've assigned to lead, the bishops, the pastors, the ministers, the elders, dear God, those who are in charge, the pope, the priest, all of those who you have left in charge, your God, to speak to your people and to be the shepherd. You are the greatest shepherd, but they are the under shepherd. Give them what they need, dear God, to speak a word in our hearing, dear God, so that we can follow the shepherd, dear God. But we want to follow you, the greatest shepherd, dear God. And we know that you will give them what they need, dear God. And we will follow only what the Spirit says, only what the Word says, dear God, that we can hear for ourselves what the Spirit has to say to us. But we will follow when they're leading us with the Word, dear God. We just thank you, we praise you, we love you, we magnify you. It's done all in the mighty matchless sweet name of Jesus that we pray. Amen and praise God.
Well, that sounds like Minister Shirley Earls.
That's me.
And I'm so glad you're with us tonight.
I'm glad to be here with you.
My heart is full.
I'm fuller than that.
I know you. But it's
a
pleasure.
I'm full too. It's a blessing. Thank you.
Glory be to God.
Mm-hmm.
My friend, my sister in Christ,
my
classmate.
That's who we are. That's who we are.
And I love you.
I love you more than that. Don't get it twisted in everybody on this line. I love you the same. Mm-hmm. I'm a citizen.
Right.
I'm gonna turn my mic off. Even the president that works on my nerve, I love him too, because God told me to
yes.
do so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, God. The Bible says we owe no man but to love him.
That's all.
Thank you, my sister.
Again,
you're
welcome.
And Sister Elyria Mackey, you want to, Minister Mackey, you want to pray now or you want to pray at this?
I'll do the closing.
I know my people. Glory be to God. Thank you, my sister. We have like minds.
So
we've been ministering together for a long time. And that's how you begin to try the Spirit and know the Spirit of one another as you work in the field for God and doing the things of God. Thank you, Minister Mackey, for always being there and accept any job that is placed in your hand. And because of that, I say thank you.
So welcome.
Well, it's time to eat. All right, now. I pray everybody have their Bibles. I pray everybody have prayed, asking the Holy Spirit to be here with us and have his way and let the Spirit know we enter with a spirit of expectancy, expecting with expectation from God. So, our lesson tonight, the title, because so many other callers have called on the line, is Allow God to Mold and Shape You. We know our scripture is coming from Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 6. And you guys know how we do it. I'm going to give you a background, and tonight our background is going to be about Jeremiah. I want you to know that the author of the book of Jeremiah is Jeremiah. He's a prophet that lived in the final days of the crumbling nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was crumbling, and God gave a message to Jeremiah. You see, prophets were God's spokesperson. God gave them a message to guide and warn his people. You see, God reveals his plans to his prophets. The scripture in Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord God does nothing, hallelujah, the Lord does nothing unless he reveal his secret to his servants, the prophets. That's good news, y'all. Many wonder if there are prophets today. We can't ignore all prophecies out of fear of false prophecies, but we should test them. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 and 21 said, do not be despised prophecies, but do not despise prophecies, but test all things, hold fast to what is good. Jeremiah, who was only 17 when God called him, had great inner turmoil over the fate of his people, and he begged them to listen. Jeremiah was still a young man when the spirit of prophecy came upon him. He was fearful to accept such a responsibility, declaring, "I'm still a boy." But God said unto him, "Say not that I'm a boy, for you shall go to all that I send you, and wherever I command, you shall speak." You know, God is telling many of us, has told us at different times to go, and, you know, we always come up with something. We could think about Moses, how he said, "Oh, I stutters," and so on and so on. But we're going to get to, or we should be trying, we should be trying to get to a place where we have sensitive ears to what the Holy Spirit is telling us and leading us which way to go. And when we hear the voice of God, you don't have to understand it. Just do it. But he had to tell Jeremiah, "Be not afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you." You see, this is the prime example of where God guides, he also provides. From the moment Jeremiah lost all fear and delivered his sad prophecy and warning without regards for the king or the strong men. See, the word from God strengthened Jeremiah, and the word of God strengthened us today. You see, Jeremiah was born to a priestly family belonging to the tribe of Benjamin. His father was a prophet and a high priest. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because he cried tears of sadness, not only because he knew what was about to happen, because no matter how hard he tried, the people would not listen. So that's some insight on Jeremiah. And I'm going to let you know that Jeremiah preached for over 40 years. And not once did he see any real success of changing or softening the hearts and the minds of his stubborn, idolatrous people. You know, God has given us a command to spread the word. He didn't tell us that we have to make them listen. And we don't have the ability to save nobody. But just as Jeremiah did it for 40 years, we have to keep pressing, keep doing it. And when it's not accepted, do like Jesus did when he came out of Jerusalem. Dust the dust off your feet and you keep moving. So we want to look at the life of Jeremiah and see how God used him, realize that God can use us in the same way. And so that was a little bit background on Jeremiah. And we're going to go into the scripture right now. I'm in Jeremiah 18th chapter, and we're going to do the first, second, and third verse. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my word." Then I went down to the potter's house. This is Jeremiah talking. And behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. I love when I read that. I could just read it over and over and over. But you see, one of the most powerful analogies in the Bible regarding our transformation and sanctification in the Lord has to be with the analogy of the potter and the clay. God is illustrating his sovereignty over and in the lives of his people. The Bible says that God is the potter and we are the clay. It is up to God to mold, transform, sanctify us as we journey through this earthly life. It's not predicated on you. It's God doing the work. You see, whenever God gives us an analogy in the Bible, this means that we have to seek into the revelation of that analogy in order to pick up what he's trying to tell us. You see, that's what we have to do. Because there's a message, analogy, or like a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. You see, we have to realize that this is a, you know, this is always analogies and parables is divine revelation by illustration. Hallelujah. In other words, we have to find out exactly how pottery is made, how the potter works the clay to establish its expected end. If we want to fully understand what God is trying to tell us in this most incredible analogy, we must realize that God is the potter and we are the clay. We're going to start with that in mind, and we're going to build on it. We have to start with that in mind. You see, God wanted Jeremiah to understand the lesson he was about to teach him. And look how God is. He sent him over to the potter's house to see what the potter do with clay. You see, what he saw was how the potter first chose the clay that was best for the intended purpose he willed to achieve. This lets us know everybody don't have the same use. Come on, y'all. He had to choose the clay that was best fitted for what his intended purpose would be. You see, God has a unique design for our life. That's how we all can say what God has for you is for you. You see, once the potter had chosen the best clay for the job, he then placed it on a wheel. Come on, y'all. I'm going to have to give y'all some visual. So y'all remember the story with Denny Moore and y'all know this movie, The Man, the Ghost, with Denny Moore and the man, and they made ghosts. And, you know, she used to be making pottery. And she was sitting down, and he was sitting behind her. I'm trying to give you a visual, y'all. You see, once we accept Christ as our Savior, we then become his children, and the wheels of our sanctification process begin. You see, the potter then adds water to the clay to make it flexible, adaptable, soft enough for him to be able to accurately use it. And when I go back a little bit, the sanctification process that we're talking about here, you see, the sanctification process is when we accept Christ, our sanctification is done. That's the first part of sanctification, which is called positional. In other words, when you accepted Christ, when he came and got you while you was wilding in your sin, when he picked you up even in the midst of your sin, and you accepted him, and you did it with your heart, you got in position. That's called positional sanctification. Position to receive all that he has. That's why you could say the last first and the first could be last. Come on, y'all. You became an heir and a joint heir. They didn't have no tenure. They've been in longer than you. It don't count. You come in, you're in with all the full privileges. You got in position when you accept Christ to receive all that God has to offer. At that point, not because you had read the 66 books in the Bible, not because you went to church every day, but at that moment you got in positional position for sanctification. Now, what I just said above that, which made me click my mind and go back, you see, once we accept the Lord as our Savior, we become his children, and the wheel of sanctification process begins. The process after you got your positional sanctification, what we're going through now and everything that's happened in our lives, we're still in a sanctification process, but we done left out of the position, because when we accepted, we got in position. But in the sanctification process, now we in the progressional. We are progressing. We being sanctified every day. We growing stronger. We learning more of God, and we doing better, and we doing the word and not just hearing the word, That's where we are now. And to give you a little visual on that, because I have to tell you, we're living in a land of the dying, being prepared for the land of the living. And in this progressional sanctification process is where God see what we're working with, and God work with us to see what his he created and his intended purpose. So I'll give you a little bit example of that. Like I say, we are living in a land of the dying. And I know plenty of people say when they wake up, God, thank you for letting me be in the land of the living. But we are really living in the land of dying. That coronavirus, we're living in the land of dying, being prepared for the land of the living. This is our preparation time, y'all. And God is doing the work. And tonight he's telling you, I'll be the potter if you be the clay, because you in this progressional sanctification process, and I want to help you to achieve all of your intended purpose. So with that being said, you know, what he did, he put the potter add water to the clay because, you know, it had to become flexible and soft enough to be used. But you see, if it's not enough water, the clay will remain too hard. Is that kind of like hard-headed people? I just put that in there just now, y'all. The clay will remain too hard, and it'll be too rigid for use. But you see, in the Bible, the word water means, and it's symbolic to the word of God. So what this is telling us, that the sanctification process, which is to mold and to transform us in this life, we must be willing to do our part by growing in grace and the knowledge of God. You see, the word of God is what approves us. You know, Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved. The word of God approves us. Hallelujah. 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 And it gets us ready to receive what God has for us. You see, now the clay has to be properly centered in the middle of the wheel. Because if it's not properly centered, the potter will not be able to work with it. Because it would be wobbly and slipping and sliding and ducking and hiding and all of that, and the clay will just wobble so much till it'll fall apart. But you see, we have to be in position, positionally centered to receive all that God has for us. God have a lot for you, but you didn't get to that position to receive it. Come on, y'all. Jesus had to become our Lord, our Master, and our Savior for this to really happen. Some people only know Jesus as a Savior. Some might call him Lord, but don't know he's their Master. Hallelujah. But he has to become your Lord, your Savior, and your Master. Because it's not our will, but it's his will. And it's all of him, but we have to give him all of us. And then you see, once the clay is on the wheel and the right water is applied, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about, the word of God. It's right in position, it's right in the center, and it is still in the middle of the wheel. Then the wheel began to turn. The wheel has to move slow and steady as it turns. You see, because the potter is always using his hand to mold the clay. You see, and if the wheel turns too fast, the lump of clay will tear completely apart before he can make it to the finish line. You see, in the same way, the sanctification process that I talked about early, I didn't tell you that it would be over. You got in position when you believed. We're in the sanctification process. And the sanctification process, the progressive sanctification process, is going to happen till Jesus come back again. God took care of the first part because you didn't go looking for God. God came looking for you. The Holy Ghost gave you an invitation and you accepted it. This part here, God is doing the work in you, but you have to cooperate with him for what he asks you to do. You got to put in some work in this process because you see, the next process was going to be the finalization, our sanctification, is when Jesus is going to take us back with him. And you see, we're going to be brand new because we're going to take off this corruptible and put on incorruptible. Hallelujah. And no more sin is going to be in our presence. So God don't have to work on you to be right because you're going to be made right. You're going to be totally right. There will be no flesh where flesh, sin dwells in the flesh. And there will be no flesh. So there would be no wrong. And that's the final part of our sanctification process. You see, if the wheel turns too fast, I tell you, the lump gonna just be destroyed. So the potter know how to keep it slow and easy and steady, and when he could make it go a little bit fast, and when he need to pull you back. You know, you might be doing what you need to do, and he let you go out there a little bit further and a little bit faster. And you get out there and you start doing what you don't have to do. And sometimes he got to pull you back. You got to step on the wheel, the pedal on the wheel to get you back to save you. You see, the race is not given to the swift and will end when we die or when Jesus comes first. We have to have patience with the Lord on how he works the work in us. I like the way that sounds, y'all. We have to be patient with the Lord on how he wants to work the work in us and build our lives in him. You see, in our fast-paced, self-centered world, we are used to instant everything. But you see, in God's realm, he's usually working things out on his timing. Hey. Not ours. And you see what will happen if we do not learn how to accept his time frame, we could end up getting very frustrated and impatient and then eventually end up losing out. You know, God had something big for you, and it was right around the corner. But before you could turn the corner, you thought he was taking too long. Look at Sarah and Abraham. Hallelujah. So you thought he was taking too long, and you decided to take it in your own hands, and it made you go another way, and what God had for you was right over there, but you was going the other way. So you see, you know, you could wind up losing out. You see, once the lump of clay is spinning on the wheel and the potter takes his hand and pushes it down on the top of the clay to create an opening in it. I hope y'all follow me visually. You see, the potter hand then goes deep down inside the clay as it is forming out. And he then uses his hand to properly shape the piece of clay as it is building up and out during this spinning process on the wheel. You see, here is God is letting us know that he's the one that's doing the work. So let's not get it twisted, everybody. God sent Jeremiah to the potter's house to see potter does with the clay. And God said, I am the potter. He's trying to teach them how to be the clay. So watch this. When he said, I'm telling you now that God is the one doing the work. You could check it out in Philippians 2 and 13, which said, it is God working in us to will and to do his good pleasure. And he don't stop there. He then places the Holy Spirit inside of that opening that he created in us. And now his hand is working both on the inside and the outside while molding, shaping, and transforming us for his glory. Remember, that's why we was created. You see, God's hands literally goes deep down into the middle of our soul and spirit, where the inner sanctification work is actually being done. We must learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And you see, since the Holy Spirit is doing the work and the actual supernatural work on the inside of us, it can become rather painful and unpleasant at times, since he will be removing all of the bad negative qualities that he do not want us to have operating in our lives, and at the same time instilling and imparting all of the good, positive, and good qualities that he wants us to have. He's taking out and putting in. He's putting in and then taking out. You see, sometimes a good amount of pressure has to be applied. And all I could tell you is remember the saying, no pain, no gain. You see, to remove toxic pride, arrogance, selfishness, bad temper, and lust can be very painful due to the fact that that flesh is wanting to keep holding on to these negative qualities operating in our lives. See, that's where the battle comes, the flesh and the spirit. You see, but Jeremiah 29 lets us know, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. So with God saying that, he's telling us right now, the potter cannot stretch the clay beyond its limits. God works with us according to our ability. God never asks us to do something he knows we can't do. He never sets us up to fail. And he don't ask you to work in a ministry of a gift that he didn't give you the gift to work it. You see, the potter cannot stretch the clay beyond his limits. God worked with us according to our ability. God knows that each one of us, he knows what each one of us is capable of doing. And he never asks us to perform something that he knows that we are incapable of doing. So with that being said, learn to stay in your lane. God ain't asking one person to do everything. Yeah, you have more than one gift, and use them. But learn to stay in your lane. You see, the potter has to keep his eyes on the clay at all times. That's how we know the scripture is true, that God said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. God said, I'm right in the middle of everything that you're doing. He's saying, you know, sometimes you're going through and you can't hear my voice. He said, but if that happens, he said, just trust my plan, because I'm God and I understand, but you can't trust God's plan if you don't know the plan. You see, the potter then takes a knife and cut off all the excess accumulated around the pot as he's molding it on the spinning wheel. What he's actually doing is circumcising the heart. You know, in the Old Testament, they circumcised the man with the hands of men to remove the excess skin. So when the Old Testament went out and Jesus was showing and fulfilling the law, then circumcision was no longer done with the male part with a knife, but it's being circumcised, and our heart is being circumcised, removing the fleshly things and smoothing out our rough edges. You see, Colossians 2:11 said, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcisions made without hands, and putting off the body of sin of the flesh of the circumcisions of Christ. Christ is circumcised in our heart, y'all. So circumcision wasn't abolished, but it's just a new way. You know, he's circumcised in our heart. You see, after the pot is completely dry, it is ready to be fired. Come on, y'all. This initial firing removed the water so that the piece can be glazed without turning back to mud. Then the Holy Ghost seals, y'all, once we got saved. I'm going to read that again. after the pot is completely dry, it is ready to be fired. This initial firing removes the water so that the piece can be glazed without turning to mud and breaking. You see, once we accept Christ as our Lord, Savior, and Master, we are glazed with the blood of Jesus and sealed with the Holy Ghost to be kept and helps us from turning back to our old nature. You see, after the second firing of putting the pot in the fire, then it's ready for use. You see, God said we will be tried in the fire, but we should come out like pure gold if we do what the Word of God tells us to. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Let him lead you and guide you and take the Word of God and apply it and love on everybody and love your neighbors like yourself and love the Lord that God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. Hallelujah. When we do all of the things that we do and we come out of the second firing, once the pot is fired the second time, y'all know how it goes in that crematory to get the heat. It come out as pure gold. But I want you to know that we all have to go through the fire because God didn't promise a rose garden. And yes, Jesus did take away our sins, but the consequences of those sins belong to us. And yes, the fire is our trials, our tests, our tribulation that God uses to mature us and to get us in position to be used. And we got the other verses, verse 4, 5, and 6. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred. Come on, y'all. In the hands of the potter. It broke up. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Yes, God is arranging and rearranging the matters in our lives. And 5 say, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, this is Jeremiah, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter? And that's the same thing God is asking you tonight. Cannot I do with you as this potter, say the Lord. And then it goes on to say, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel, O household of faith today in the United States, right here, right now on this program, O body of Christ, all the believers in God. God is speaking to us. You see, as the potter molds or shapes the clay pot on his wheel, defects often appear. Come on, y'all. But the potter has the power to over the clay, you know, to work over the clay, to permit, he could either let the defect remain or he can reshape the pot. See, God is sovereign. He could do whatever he wants with that clay. It's your job to realize that you are the clay. You see, likewise, God has the power to reshape us, to conform us to his purpose. God is in total control. You see, Jesus is coming back, but while we are here on earth, God is telling us not to worry. He is the potter and we are the clay. Our strategy should not to become mindless and passive. One aspect of clay, but to be willing and receptive to God's impact on our lives. As we yield to him, he begins shaping us into valuable vessels, a great piece of art. Art, valuable art. God wants you to know that no matter how skilled a potter is, this is important, he can never make a pot that is identical. There's never in the whole world ever been any pottery made. Even if they make a series, it's going to have something on it. Because no matter how skilled, there are no identical pieces. Even if that's what they started out to try to do, it ain't going to work. It might be that the difference might be so small you might not pay attention, but there's going to be something different. You see, here God is letting you know that you are unique. There is no one exactly like you. You are his prized piece of art, like I told you. Very valuable, one of a kind. And you fit it for his glory. You're so precious that he gave his only begotten son, hallelujah, so that he would be able to use you. Because you see, before Christ died, we couldn't go in the presence of God. He gave his only begotten son so that he could be able to use you. You see, in this parable, as I close, God is the potter. We are the clay, God's creation. The water is his word. The pressure inside of us is Jesus Christ. The circumcision of the heart is being done by the Holy Spirit, remover of the fleshly things and remover of the rough edges. You see, in the glaze is the blood of Jesus, and the fire is our life circumstances which God uses to get us ready. Now, I ask you this question. Will you allow God to be the potter and you become the clay? Not our will, but his will. But we got to be willing to give our all if we expect to get all of him. That's our lesson for tonight. Glory be to God. And at this time, y'all know that the floor is open. Anybody who would like to make a comment, you might want to sing a song. I don't know. If God is placing something on your heart, you could press the one button and I'm going to open the mic. I have a caller that pressed the button. Caller, well, really, I know who it is. It's Minister Paul McLeod. Your mic is open, darling. Caller?
Yes, I'm sorry. My phone was ringing at the time you say that. I just want to thank you. That was a very powerful message. And continue to allow God to promote you. That was so powerful. I'm usually sleeping around this time of night, but I'm sitting up wide awake. It was so, so inspiring. And I just want to say, well received, well delivered. Thank you. And continue to allow God to use you. And yes, I will allow
him to
mold me and shape me as well.
All right, I'm going to be checking on that now. Glory
Lord
be to God.
Lord,
thank
I
you
overspoke.
No, just do what you say you're going to do. And if I don't see you, you know God sees you.
Amen. And that was Patrick Swayze in the movie.
Yes, you're right. And when I ask a question and can't get the right information out, and I ask y'all something, y'all can press the one button. I'm going to see it, and I'm going to open it, and y'all going to help me through. Hallelujah. But, yeah, I was trying to give you a visual, the movie Ghost, Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore. So thank you so much for making your comments, Sister Minister Paula Cloud. Anyone else would like to say anything at this time? You could press the one button. You can make comments. You could add. Y'all know I tell y'all all the time I'm not the smartest person. You may have something that you could interject, and you got to realize that many times I could preach a lesson 10 times and you preach it once and somebody get the message because that's just the way it's designed. Now, Minister Shirley Earls, I'm going to only press you again because if you're trying to get my attention once you press the one button. I don't get if you press it again, I don't get anything. But you don't have to say anything, but I'm going to just make sure I give you the opportunity. Your mic is open now.
Oh, To God be the glory for a wonderful Bible lesson. You started out by saying we've heard this scripture so many times and preached so many different ways, but one thing about the Word of God, he says faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So God didn't put to hear it for us to hear and hear it because he didn't want us to hear it and hear it. Because when something is repetitious, especially the Word of God, that's how we hide it in our hearts. So, you know, we have to hear it and hear it. We have to hear you. We have to hear pastors. We have to hear somebody else. We have to hear it and hear it. Because each time that we hear any scripture in the Word of God, it gives us, it should give us new illumination, or it should reiterate something that we forgot, or it's going to do something to prick your heart. So I just say to God be the glory and thank God for you also, because when we do something for God, he has something special in the line of blessings for us. So you've given us good food, and I just want to let you know I'm full. I was full when I started, and now I need to just belch and get on out of here. Just let it out. You know, and how I let it out is I give it to someone else. You know, the word has to be given. I mean, you have to share the word with someone else. I leave you guys with this. I've been on the line, on the phone since this pandemic, and every time I talk to someone, Energy, AT&T, all the business people that you got to talk to and let them know who you are and whose you are. And so when I finish, they say, is it anything else I can do for you? And I say, I have two questions for you. And so the lady at Energy, she said, sure, what do you need, Ms. Earls? I said, are you saved? She says, oh, yes. I said, thanks be to God. I said, my second question is, how's your family? And she said, my family's doing fine, thank you. So we have to let men, women, boys, and girls know who Christ really is in us. And we've got to share and give him to them. Because just like Minister Diane said, he gave it first. And then it's our place to give it now that we have a chance to give it. So thank you for allowing me to say something. I wasn't going to say anything else, but I was just pushed to say that. And so thank you again for a wonderful message and a wonderful lesson and a wonderful explanation. I got a lot. I wrote 3 pages, so I'm going to go back and reflect on what you said, and I thank God for it and for you.
Yeah, Cheryl, and I knew you. I assumed you would have a little problem without being able to get another word in. So I just, you know, when you know your audience and you know your peeps, you know, you give them what they want when you can, you know.
Thank you very much.
I love you, baby.
Love you more than that.
So at this time, if no one else has anything to say, we're going to turn and open the mic up for Elyria Mackey. I just want you guys to know that I have a lot of new people on the line because we have been doing, I think it's for 60-something days since the pandemic started. And when they start telling you to stay inside, we started a ministry, and we've been praying. We started out we was getting together 4 times a day. 9 o'clock we prayed, 12 o'clock we have Bible study, 3 o'clock we prayed, and then 6 o'clock we prayed. And we took the 3 o'clock out, but we still have it when we want to do something special or we got to switch, we switch to 3. But we have that going on, and so many callers have been faithful like you guys on with the ministry. We just picked the name for it after 60 days. It's amazing when you just follow God. God never told us. God put it in my spirit. He never told me to name it. I never named it. But we to the point where we need to name it because we branching out with a ministry for the prisoners. And when we send in information, we needed a name. So today we picked the name. But I have other people on the line, and I'm just telling you guys, the one from Image of Christ by Acts of Love Ministry, as well as Words of Wisdom Tonight, plain and simple. I thank God for all of you. From the bottom of my heart, I am grateful. Thank you, guys. And at this time, we're going to give Minister Elyria Mackey the mic.
Thank you,
Your mic is open.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In case you have fallen by the wayside of life and dreams and visions shattered, you are broken inside. You don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. The potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you back together again. In case your situation has turned upside down and all that you've accomplished is now on the ground, you don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. The potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you back together again. If you are broken, stop by the potter's house. If you need mending, stop by the potter's house. Give him the fragrance of your broken life, my friend. The potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you back together again. There is joy in the potter's house. There is peace in the potter's house. If you're looking for salvation, there is salvation in the potter's house. You see, the potter wants to put you back together again. The potter wants to put you back together again. We thank you, Lord God. God, I thank you because truly you are the potter, and I am the clay, and we are the clay, oh God. And we truly ask that you would mold us and shape us, oh God, into vessels of honor, Lord God, that we would be meet for your use, oh God. And in everything we do, we will give you the glory, Lord God. God, we thank you, Lord God, for molding us and shaping us. We thank you, Lord God, for that you're raising up, oh God. We thank you for armies that you're raising up to battle, Lord God, because you said the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, oh God. And you said we can cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity. God, we plead the blood of Jesus right now over situations, oh God. We plead the blood of Jesus over sisters and brothers who have been broken, oh God, who hearts have been broken, oh God. We ask that you would bind up broken hearts right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we ask that you would bind up the hearts of those who are grieving this afternoon, oh God, those that have to bury loved ones, Lord God. We ask that you would bind their broken hearts and give them the peace that passes all understanding because you're able, Lord God. God, and we thank you because your word declares that we are your purchased possession. We've been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus, and for that we are grateful, Lord. And you didn't stop there. You told us that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You made us lively stones, oh God. And we know the word declares that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you know how to deliver us out of them all. And for that, we thank you. And for that, we will praise you, Lord God, through the good times, through the bad times, because we recognize that the kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violent take it back by force. And, God, we just come right now, God, linking our prayers together. God, we thank you for the word that you gave us on tonight, oh God, and that we would press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, our joy, our peace, oh God. We thank you, Lord, because you said in your word that you give us new mercies morning after morning. And you said the mercies are for our children's children. And we thank you, Lord. We bless the name of Jesus tonight for Minister Diane, oh God. We thank you for giving her the strength to go forward, oh God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for raising her up, oh God, in these last and evil days, oh God, and all of those that you're calling to minister your word, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, because your word declares that you place some in the church, oh God, for the edifying of the body, for the perfecting of the saints. You call apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, oh God, and we thank you that they're going forth ministering your word, oh God. Oh, God, we thank you for deliverance, oh, God, because your word said that you add to the church daily such as to be saved. And we thank you in advance for those that you're calling out of darkness into your marvelous light, oh, God. We thank you for binding up broken hearts in advance, oh, God. We thank you for giving peace to troubled mind, oh, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you because we recognize that we are your people, oh, God. We are a purchased generation, oh God. We are royal priesthood. We are holy nation. We are peculiar people, oh God, that you call out of darkness into your marvelous light to show forth your praises. And we just want to praise you. Because God, everything that you do, you said you begin a good work in us. And you're able to perform it, oh God. And we thank you. Because we know that it is in you that we live and that we move and that we have our being. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, my sister. And for the ministry that I was talking about, I want y'all to know that we do it 3 times a day, but we do it 7 days a week. Just information. Because we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had to grow and get there. But that's our lesson for tonight. I want y'all to know that God loves you, and so do I, and it ain't nothing y'all can do about it. That's our program for tonight. I pray that God be with you until we meet again, and if it's God's will, we'll be back on Wednesday night. Good night, everybody. Be safe. Praise God.